But those of you that might be guests, you came on experiment day. We've used some technology, we're using some more and working out all the kinks. We've got good things to come. We've got the way. We've got a way we can even project the music. And you can follow along that way. Now, who needs a job that pays really highly? Raise your hand. All right. We would like somebody, maybe more than one of you, once you pray about this, don't volunteer immediately, but we'd like to be able to get all this technology bundled and in a place other than here on the pulpit, because I know that this thing's driving some of you crazy, and we'll get all that out of the way. But if you have an interest in, and it pays well, it pays what the choir gets, the treasurer gets, and I know that's a lot, I really do. And but if you know a little technology, of course you got to be here. You can't come every third Sunday, and because I'll kill you, okay? You or a group of you that want to do this, we'd like to get it placed off the stage, and it'll just move seamlessly. Amen. Well, I'll just leave my laptop up here then, okay? Let's pray together, Father. As we come to this time with this new series of messages, Lord, we just ask you to touch our hearts, to help us as we, in this time together, learn about the journey from death to life. Amen. Now, you'll see your scripture if you want to go on and get that ready. We'll be there in just a moment. But I want you to think about that. One of the ways that we fascinate people nowadays, because we are a technology-driven, and I don't know about you, I like pictures better than I do words at times. And one of the ways to do that is creating a story. Well, the Bible does a wonderful job of offering us life stories. But there's a story that happened about 100 years ago in England. A father gave a little boy a little bitty bear. And along with the other toys in his playroom, he played with that bear. And the father then, in watching the little boy interact, began to write, because he was an author and everything, he began to write stories about the little boy and the bear. The little boy is known as Christopher Robin. The bear is known as Winnie the Pooh. And with that story, you and I also, all of us have a life story. Our story of kind of how life is evolving. Mine's still playing out. I'm not ready to end it yet. Amen? I hope that you're not either. Some of our stories are good. Some of them are bad. Some of them are tragedies. Some of them are mysteries. When it comes to Rose and me, especially with her toward me and Perry toward Sean, it's a romance, okay? You know, they just really love us. And then there are other stories. There's bigger stories. But the Bible gives us the overarching story of redemption, of God's ability to save sinful man. Now, we're going to spend some time, and I hope that you will look at the Bible mini-series and kind of get a look at all of that, and then you'll study that and see that next 5 weeks, History Channel, 8 o'clock, from 8 to 10. If you've got a DVR, for those of you that know what that is, you just watch that. But we're going to look at an amazing story this morning that deals with the binding of Isaac. And we're looking at the idea from journey from death to life. I want you to turn with me in your Bible, if you haven't already, Genesis 22. Verses 1 through 9, we're dealing with Abraham. Abraham, the patriarch, the father. And many of you know the story of Abraham and Isaac. You may not. You'll get to see that story today. Most of the time, we look at it from Abraham's perspective. And we kind of go, you know, Abraham was called of God to do something that took great faith. Well, this morning, we're going to kind of switch it around, and we're going to look at it from Isaac's perspective. And if you're not familiar with what happens to Isaac, you just listen along or read along and you'll see. Now, I'm going to ask you we're not going to read all 19 verses, but I'm going to ask you just to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God for just a moment. And we're going to look at Isaac's story. We're going to spend our time, first of all, with verses 1 through 8. And basically, as we put ourselves in Isaac's place, we have that our life is an uncertain journey. None of us knows what tomorrow holds. None of us knows what the next few minutes hold. Hopefully it means the end of the sermon soon. Amen? I know what some of you are thinking. Now, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Now, I want you to notice what he asked him to do. And I want you to offer him as a sacrifice, offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you. Now, folks, that was no small thing. But I want you to notice what he did. Abraham could have said, no, I will not do that. Don't ever get the idea that Abraham didn't have a choice. But let's see what he did. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took his two young men, took his two servants with him, and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place which God had told him. Verse 4 says, on the third day he raised his eyes and saw the place at a distance. Abraham then says to his servants, he says to them, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Now, I want you to notice that he says, we will return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on his son Isaac, and he took him by the hand, and the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked together. Now, Isaac's walking along, and Isaac has watched his father sacrifice before. He asked a question. Father, here am I, he says, my son. He says, behold the fire and the wood. We got the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice for the burnt offering? Verse 8, Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walk together. May God bless the reading of his word. You be seated. I want you to imagine that your father comes to you and he says, we're going to take a trip. And I don't know about you, as long as it wasn't to the woodshed, I didn't mind going. And I like going on father and son trips. And so here he goes on a trip, and they're going along. And what we have here when we get to verse 7 is Isaac is going along with it. So they get 3 days into the journey, and suddenly Abraham says, well, I want the servants to stay here. He gives Isaac the big bundle of wood that they're going to offer the sacrifice on, and they continue on. Now, Isaac, at some point, he's probably better than I am, and he obviously couldn't have been too young, because every young child asks the question, what? When are we going to get there? Of course, wives do that too. I just want you to know that. And Why? Because I said so. Why? Well, Isaac, in verse 7, it says, he asked the question. He says, Father and the Father, you know, he says, I'm here. He says, we're on this journey, and we're going to sacrifice, but where's the lamb? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that Isaac knew any better. But I just want you to imagine that you're walking along, and you trust your father, and you're carrying the wood, and you're doing all this, and your father's response to you is, God will provide. Well, I don't know about you, Isaac really didn't understand, and the mystery hadn't been revealed to him, just like you and I don't always understand our journey. But the scripture says that no man knows what is to be. Isaac really didn't know what was coming, just like you and I don't know what's coming. That's why our life is an uncertain journey. We really don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know if the doctor will call or the IRS will call or the Congress will get straight. Amen? If any of you were here Wednesday night, you heard me do that. We don't know what it'll be. We don't know what our journey's going to be like. Isaac didn't either. But he's going along and he's following his father. But he really had no idea. You and I know the scripture, so we know what's coming. But there's one part of Isaac's story that we want to look at, and it's true of all of us, and that's the first part, and that is he really didn't know where he was going, but he's on a journey. Our life is an uncertain journey. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but thank God we have somebody who does. So as we move forward in the Scripture, we want to look at verses 9 and 10 because I want to tell you something about your journey that you may not be concentrating on today. And that is, all of us are going to die. Now, you may think you're going to live forever. I had such fun, I think it was last Sunday, that I said, now men, and I want all the men to pay attention. Ladies, you make sure the men pay attention. It's time for you to quit doing Botox and facial scrubs and all those things, okay? You're not going to look any better, and you're not going to live forever, all right? I'm talking to the men. Amen. Oh, come on, ladies, you can help me with that. You don't, I'll turn on you. Well, one of the things we know is the certainty of death. Well, let's just look. Verse 9 and 10. They came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, and he arranged the wood. Well, Isaac had watched him do that in the first part of verse 9 many times. He builds an altar, and he arranges the wood, and there he was to offer a burnt sacrifice. But then he does something very, very strange or different as far as Isaac was concerned. And that's who we're thinking about this morning is Isaac. He takes his son and he binds it. And he places him on the altar. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were there and I look at that, and Daddy starts to tie me up, we gonna tangle. We gonna roll. And if you think I'm going to lay there and let you put me up on top of that wood without doing some hollering, there's a, you know, we don't think of that. We just think of Isaac so sweetly, just letting his daddy tie him up and, you know, and then set him on the wood and he just sat there and went, Can you imagine? I want you to put yourself in Isaac's place for a few moments. Isaac has come to the realization that we all need to come to, and that is that death is coming. Death was coming for Isaac before he ever really thought it would. Like most young folks and like most others, he thought he was going to live a long time. But we never know. Was he 8? Was he 18? Did his father surprise him? Did Isaac resent? We don't know. We don't know that Isaac understood what was happening. We just know that at some point he realizes he's going to die. And the Scripture says he bound his son at the end of verse 9 and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then it gets the, can you imagine being Isaac? Here you are, you're bound on top of the sacrifice. They're going to light his father, his own father, whom he loves, raises the stone knife in the air. And he's going to slay him. Now, at that point, I'm going to be squirming and doing one of these deals, okay? I mean, let's just think about how difficult this was for Isaac, but let's also think about how difficult it was for Abraham. When we tell the story and when we look in the book of Hebrews where it talks about Abraham, we go, oh, Abraham had great faith. Listen, any of you that don't think Abraham argued with God over this have lost your mind. Now, Abraham didn't win the argument, but I do not believe, and I don't think you could convince anybody, that when God first told Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, and sacrifice him. Now, Abraham had this child in later years when he wasn't going to have any more. Now, yes, Abraham did demonstrate great faith, but if you think Abraham just went, well, yes, God, I'll do that immediately, you've lost your mind because you and I are human. There was probably some great resistance there. And I'm sure Abraham mourned and he thought, no. And then you got Isaac, and Isaac's probably screaming if his daddy didn't bat his mouth. Daddy, no! Daddy, no! You can imagine this whole scene playing out. Death, though, is certain. It's coming for all of us. No matter what we do or where we go, it's coming. Death is certain. Well, right now the story's pretty depressing, isn't it? Here's a father who has taken his only son and he's getting ready to slay him. And what kind of God would ask you to kill your only son? I want you to think about that question a moment. Well, you know, every one of us is facing death. We don't know when the hour will come. The book of Ecclesiastes says that. Only God knows. God knows the day I'll die. I tell folks that the way I want to go now, and there are two ways I want to go. One's the good way. The other is probably the way I will go. The good way is I want to be sitting at a table. I mean, a big table. And I want banana pudding right here. I'm making some of you hungry. We'll be through in a minute, okay? I want those multiple layer chocolate cakes. You know, I'm not talking about one or two layers. I'm talking about where they do the little bitty seven-layer chocolate cake. I want that. I'm not trying to offend any of you who are here from Lexington because you need inferior food. I want a whole pound and a half of Eastern North Carolina barbecue. Woo! I want hush puppies and slaw. And I want the sweetest tea. I want the lemon to run from it. It's so sweet. And I want to just be sitting there eating that and just drop over dead right in a boom right there. Now, that's the way to go. Come on. Listen, you have your fantasy. I got mine, okay? It's not being shot by a jealous husband. And that may be yours. In honesty, I've told somebody that really what I'd like to do is I'd like to preach a sermon and do my absolute best on Sunday morning. And so I've got a ways to go and go home and have lunch with my wife and send her off to her Sunday nap. And listen, the Lord didn't come back during Rosie's Sunday nap. She'll get left if she does, because she ain't going nowhere, okay? I want to sit in my chair and close my eyes and just go to sleep and never wake up. I really like the barbecue part better, but death is coming for us, and that's what we have here. We have a father getting ready to slay his son. But something miraculous happens. Death is guaranteed, but something miraculous happens. And that is Isaac's salvation had been provided. Yes, I'm sure Abraham argued with God. But Abraham also believed because God had given him a promise. First of all, God had told him that through your son, I will build, and through you, I will build a great nation. Well, if he kills his son, there aren't going to be any more real heirs, not true heirs. And so Abraham believes God, but here we have a wonderful story of the salvation provided. Let's look at the scripture, verses 11 through 14. In 10, it says he stretched out his hand to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him in verse 11 from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad or do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you've not withheld your only son from me." Now here's an amazing, amazing thing. And they're up here on this mountain by themselves. He's placed his son on the altar. He's getting ready to kill him, and then he's going to have to gut him. Yeah, it doesn't tell that part, but he's going to have to. And he's going to have to light the fire and watch the body of his son burn up. Is all of a sudden, over in the field, is a lamb. Yeah, was Abraham deaf or just dumb? Where did this lamb suddenly come from? You know, we read the story and we go, okay, yeah. You want to know where that lamb came from? That lamb had a cousin. You want to know who that cousin to the lamb was? You're going to like this. This is good. You write this down. This is spiritual. Jonah's fish. You're going, huh? You get that? That lamb was God's lamb. That lamb had not ever existed before. The lamb didn't suddenly run. And that don't mean like these Yahoos. Well, no, the lamb got loose from somebody and he ran and got his... yeah, you can sell that somewhere, okay? God suddenly provides a lamb. And the story tells us that Abraham then unbound his son and took the lamb and offered it as an atoning, as a sacrifice for what he was supposed to. You see, ladies and gentlemen, our salvation's been provided too. Isaac's story turns out pretty good. It turns out pretty good because he doesn't have to kill his son. The angel of the Lord speaks up and he says, "I've provided." Now, you may not think you are, but you're bound like Isaac is, and death is coming. It's coming. Death's coming to us. And you say, "Well, what am I bound in?" Well, the scripture would say that you're bound in sin. Isaac was bound by rope. You and I are bound by sin. And the Scripture teaches us in Romans 3:23 that because of sin, everybody dies. 6:23 of Romans says that the wages of sin, the cost of sin, is death. So we are going to die. We're not only going to die physically, we're going to die spiritually, except for one thing. Just like He did for Abraham and Isaac, God provided a lamb. And that lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus came down to the Jordan, He's just beginning His ministry. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. Nobody really knows who He is. John the Baptist looked at Him, and the Scripture says that John saw Him and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." You see, ladies and gentlemen, our salvation, like Isaac's salvation, has been provided. In fact, we're getting ready to have a worldwide celebration about that very thing. Isn't it amazing how the world thinks that we all ought to just get along and that Christianity is not important and that we don't have any influence anymore? But isn't it interesting that at the end of the month, the whole world's going to stop. And they're going to celebrate what? The bunny? No. They may not want to celebrate it, but the whole world's going to stop for Easter. The whole world is stopping so that we can celebrate the providing of our salvation. You see, just as God provided a lamb for Isaac. Now I want you just to imagine Isaac for a moment. His daddy's getting ready to slay him. The hand of the Lord says, "No, don't." And his daddy unties him, and there's a sacrifice. And suddenly, Abraham takes and he binds that lamb, and he places it on that altar, and he slays it. And the whole time while Isaac's watching it, he's seen it before, but it's different this time because that lamb represents where Isaac was. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not in the same boat.
We're all going to die.
Physical death is coming, but we don't have to die spiritually. Because you see, God has provided for you and for me a lamb. And you want to know what He did? I asked you a minute ago about Abraham. What kind of God would make you slay your only son? The kind of God who loved you and me enough that He gave His only Son so that He might die on Calvary's cross. Why did Jesus die on that cross? So that He might take your place and my place. Our salvation has been provided. The question is whether we're going to accept it or not. I guarantee you that Isaac never saw a sacrifice again that he didn't think, "The Lamb took my place. The Lamb took my place." There's a lamb that's waiting to take your place. All you got to do is ask Him. I want to ask you today. Do you know about the certainty of your life? Do you know everything that's going to happen to you in life from now on? No. You may think you do. You may, "Well, I've got it all planned out." Let me tell you, if you plan it out, you go ahead and plan it out. The Scripture says that there was a guy in the Bible, Jesus talked about him, who had his whole life planned out. He hit it rich. He was doing well. And all of a sudden he goes, "You know something? I'm so wealthy and I'm so good. I'm going to go build a bigger house and bigger barns. And I'm going to have better things. And I'm just going to live forever and have it well." You know what the Scripture says? That God said to that man, "This night I require of you your soul." Everything he'd accumulated was gone. There are no U-Hauls behind hearses. You can't take it with you. The only thing you don't want to take to the grave with you, you can take your clothes, you can take your rings, you can take whatever you... Don't take your sin. God provided for your salvation. Listen to what it says. And I want you right now, if you never have done this, to bow your head or just where you are and just say this little prayer. "Lord God, thank You for providing my salvation. Thank You for the spotless Lamb of God who was given to take away the sin of the world. And that's Your sin and my sin. I confess that I'm a sinner like everybody else here. And I turn to You and I accept Jesus' sacrifice on the cross
for payment for my sin. The journey from death to life. Isaac was a dead man, a dead child, until God provided a sacrifice. You are dead in your sin until you accept Jesus and His sacrifice. And folks, that's what helps me go. That's what helped keep me going during the tough times. Listen, I look back on 58 years of life. I know I look 35. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. And I put this gray in my hair so I look normal and smart, okay? Life hadn't always been good. Hadn't always been fun. Hadn't always been easy. At 21 years old, I lost my mother, and she really, in a lot of ways, was my world. And that's a young age to lose your mama. Some of you know. And I've lived a lot of good and bad times, but you know what? I have a promise that no matter how good I am or how bad I am, my sins are forgiven. Why? Because I prayed that prayer. As a little 9-year-old boy, I gave my hand to the pastor and my heart to the master. Now I want to ask you something. We're going to bow your heads with me. Do you need to pray that prayer today? You say, no, preacher, I prayed that prayer a long time ago. Then you need to be with a smile on your face because you have gone from death to life. You need to be able to tell people, I've gone from death to life. But if you've never done that, I want you right now just to say, Lord Jesus, I know that you died to take away my sin. Lord Jesus, take away my sin. Forgive me of my sin. And come into my heart. And if you do that, He'll forgive you. And He'll do that. Well, we're ready to close the service. It's time to sing. I know we've run long. It's because we've packed a whole lot into this service. And we just appreciate you being as patient as you are. For those of you that are guests, be patient with us. We don't usually go this long. But we just thank God for you. But I want to ask you, if you prayed that prayer, did you pray that prayer? If you prayed that prayer, would you let me know after service? You can do it privately. Or maybe you just want me to pray with you. We're coming in a time of invitation. What's the time of invitation for? Well, that's when people maybe who have prayed that prayer are willing to make it public. You see, Jesus said you need to make it public. You need to be willing to tell others. I want you to know that Isaac, everywhere he went, the story got out. What he did. Can you imagine Abraham? Can you imagine Sarah when she got home and Isaac told him what? Can you imagine what she was doing to Abraham? But you know what Isaac was saying? God provided the land. God saved me. God saved me. You know, one day I'm going to be in glory, and many of you are going to be in glory, and we're going to get to meet Isaac. And I'm going to go, Isaac, what was it like? What was it really like to have that night, to have death so close, and God intervened and saved you? You know what He's going to do? He'll tell you the story, and He's going to say, you know, because you're in the same boat I was. You were dead, but God sent Jesus so that you'd live. As we stand and sing, if you're looking for a church home, this is a place where we preach Jesus. We don't accuse anybody. We're not perfect except for the deacons. And I had to do that. I just did. Y'all thought I was going to say, hey, did me. Amen. Only perfect group in the church is the WMU because I'm not messing with them. All right? Some of you don't know what that is. It's not important. Get over the invitation. We want to sing. If you're looking for a church home and you want to be a part of Holloway, you come down here and I'll tell you how to be a part. You can. If you need to come pray at this altar, maybe you just need to, right where you are, have a little altar time where you just do this. You just do like Isaac. You say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you. Thank you, folks. Some of you have gotten over your salvation. I pray I never get over being saved. I'm saved and I'm getting saveder. And saved her all the time, the old boy said. And I'm the same way. Let's stand and